The Mishnah is in the middle of the list of kinds of oihalim, roofs that are fully fledged oihalim, in that they both transfer impurity to any other item which is underneath the roof at the same time as a dead body. And in addition, the oihel would prevent impurity from traveling beyond it. So there's both the stringency of an oihel and a leniency of an oihel. Hazizin, ledges which protrude out of a wall, v'hagizroyis, or balconies that come out of a wall, v'ashevochis, bird huts, v'ashkifim, holes in the side of a cliff or a large rock. This hole was formed by rain or water. V'asloim, or holes in a cliff or in a large rock which was formed naturally. V'hagahorim, we are going to understand this to refer to windows, essentially gaps in the side of a cave to allow light to enter into the cave. And the part of the rock which is on top of this gap in the wall of the cave would be considered an oihel in relation to the window right below it. V'hashanonim, this is another kind of rock, possibly a sharp rock that forms a roof over an area below it. V'aschochis, v'aparois, branches of a tree or thorns at the top of a wall that also form a roof for the area below it. If any of these items, shehinuchin kal maziva rako, if they are strong enough to be able to hold a thin layer of plaster above them, then they would have enough significance to be considered a fully fledged oihel, both stringently in that they will spread the impurity to other items underneath them, if at the same time there is a dead body underneath them, and also leniently in that they will block and prevent impurity from passing beyond them. Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Remember, the Chachom say that in order to have enough significance and be strong enough to be considered a fully fledged oihel, they must be strong enough to be able to hold ma'azeva benonis, a layer of plaster which is a medium level, a bit more plaster than Rav Meir requires. Elohim ha-schochis, what exactly is the definition of schochis that the Mishnah mentioned earlier on? Ilon shu meisach ala oretz. That refers to a tree whose branches form a canopy covering over the ground. V'aparois, and what is the definition of parois? Hayotzes min hagoder. This refers to that which is coming out of a fence, and this would usually be thorns that poked out of a fence, and as long as they were tightly packed together and strong enough to hold plaster on top of them, they would be considered an oihel. Mishnah Gimel, Eilu Mavim Lechotzin, the following items transfer impurity to the other items which are underneath them, but V'Lechotzin, they do not block the impurity from traveling beyond them. And the reason for this is because they can become Tomei themselves. And pretty much anything that can become Tomei does not block the impurity from traveling beyond it. Except for the one exception that we saw in the first Mishnah of this Perek, this chapter, where the roof was in a shape of a tent, and therefore it certainly is considered to be a fully fledged oihel. Hashidov ativov amigdol, a large container like a cabinet and a large box and a large closet, kaveres akash, a basket made out of straw which is in the shape of a beehive, kaveres akonim, a beehive shaped basket which is made out of reeds, ubers fin alexandris, or a large tank of water which is brought on a ship traveling to Alexandria from Eretz Israel, or vice versa. All of these were the examples of the utensils that were discussed in Mishnah Aleph. However, over there we talked about these utensils when they are so large and shaped in a way that they are not able to be carried when they are full, and such an item is not able to become Tomei, and because of that, it would block the impurity from traveling beyond it. However, in the case of this Mishnah, she'ein lahem shulayim, either they don't have a flat bottom, rather the bottom of these containers is curved, and therefore, even though these are massive containers, and when they are filled up, they will be extremely heavy, because of their curved bottom, it's possible still to move it, even when it is full, and because of that, it has the ability to become Tomei. Something which can become Tomei cannot prevent impurity from traveling beyond it. Or if ve'inon machzik narboims obalach shem kram bayovish, if it is not so large that it can contain a volume of 40 sa'ah of liquid, or 2 kor of solids, v'yuria, or a curtain, uskurtia, or a leather apron, uktavulya, a leather mat, v'sodin, a sheet, umapets, a soft mat made out of soft reeds or rubber, umachatzeles, or a mat made out of harder reeds, if they are not made into the regular shape of a proper tent, so since they can become Tomei, they have the regular law of any item that can become Tomei in that it cannot prevent impurity from traveling beyond it. Ubehema v'chai shemisu, a domesticated animal or a wild animal that has died, in which case it is either a source of impurity or it is something that can become tomei. V'oichlin tomein, or food that has the ability to become tomei because it's been wet before. All of these are parallel to the examples in Mishnah Aleph, just that in this case they are able to become tomei. Now the Mishnah ends off, musaf aleihem, there is one additional example which is not parallel to something mentioned in the first Mishnah, and that is horichaim shel odom, a millstone that is powered manually, a person moves it around and grinds using the millstone. Such a millstone is relatively small, it's movable, and so it can become tomei. This is unlike a millstone that is powered by an animal, pulling the handle of the millstone around it. That would be a much larger millstone which is attached to the ground and cannot become tomei. So the handle which extends from there would be considered a fully-fledged oihel, because it cannot become tomei. However, the handle which is attached to a millstone powered by a person that can be moved around, so that can become tomei, and therefore it would not block any impurity from traveling beyond it. The truth is, we're not only talking about a handle, it's just possibly a more common case. Even if the millstone itself forms an oihel on top of something else, the law of the Mishnah would apply. Mishnah Dalad, Eilu chitztin v'loimavien, the following items prevent impurity from traveling beyond them. However, v'loimavien, they do not transfer impurity to other items which are underneath them. And the reason for all of these cases is because the items are less than a tefach by a tefach. They are much thinner than that, and therefore they don't have the status of an oihel themselves. However, the reality is that they still create a situation where there is less than a tefach of space. For example, the first example of the Mishnah is Maseches Perusa, which refers to threads that have been set up in a weaving machine. There are lots of threads right next to each other, lined up, and there is less than a tefach in between each thread. Now, each thread by itself is not considered to be an oihel. It's too thin. However, the reality is that in between each thread there is less than a tefach, which means that the impurity which would be underneath it is not able to rise above it, because the impurity cannot travel through a gap which is more narrow than a tefach. Some understand this would only be the case if there is anyway another oihel, for example, a ceiling of a house, and there is a hole in the ceiling, which is at least a tefach by a tefach. If that hole was filled up with these threads which are next to each other, and there's less than a tefach in between each one of them, so then it would prevent the impurity from traveling beyond it. But by itself, it does not have the power to do so, whereas others argue this is a matter of dispute. Be it as it may, this is the idea behind all of the examples of this Mishnah, the chavilei hamita, the ropes which make up the frame of a bed, the support of the bed underneath the mattress. Again, there are ropes one next to the other, the hamashpelos, baskets made up of ropes, and the basket is used for carrying dung, the hasrigos shebachalonos, and metal bars outside of windows. And again, in all of these cases, there is less than a tefach in between each bar or in between each rope or thread. And in addition, it must be that none of these items can become tomei. So the basket or the bed hasn't been completed. That would be a reason why it cannot yet become tomei, because if it can become tomei, then it would never be able to block the impurity from traveling beyond it. Mishnah Hey, now we come to the fourth and final category of things that form a roof over a area of at least a tefach by a tefach by a tefach. And nevertheless, they are not considered to be an oihel at all. Eilu lo yimvim v'lo yichitzin, the following would not transfer impurity to the other items which are underneath it, nor would they block impurity from traveling beyond them. Hazroim v'hirokis hamuchubarim lakarka, grains and vegetables which are attached to the ground. Chutz min hayirokos shemonu, apart from the four types of plants that were listed earlier on in this perek, in this chapter, which have very wide leaves and last for a long time even when they are attached to the ground, any other vegetables or plants which are attached to the ground would not be considered an oihel, because they simply don't last long enough and are not considered to be a permanent enough fixture for us to consider it an oihel. The kippas haborod, a dome that has been formed from hail, the hasheleg, or from snow, the akfer, or from frost, the hagelid, or from ice, the hamelach, or from salt, these things certainly don't last. The dome won't be there for very long at all. and therefore it doesn't gain the status of an oihel. The hadolig mokrim mokrim, somebody who hops from one place to another. The kovitz mokrim mokrim, or if he jumps from one place to another with both his feet. Others explain that one of these terms refers to a person jumping or walking, and the other term refers to an animal jumping or walking. And according to many, and this is indeed the implication of a Mishnah earlier on in this perek, if the person or animal is not absolutely still, then he won't be considered an oihel, even if he's not jumping about. And a bird which is flying, or even a bird which is still, but it has the ability to just fly away, and it's not tied down in its place, that also would not be considered an oihel. The talisam nefes, a cloak which is waving about in the wind, therefore cannot be considered a roof. It might be above the dead body, but it hasn't got the status of a roof, of an oihel. A boat or a ship which is floating on top of the sea, since it's moving about and it can't stay in the same position, at least without an anchor attached to it, it wouldn't be considered an oihel. However, if he tied it down with an anchor that is able to hold the ship in place, or if you place down a stone on top of the cloak in order to weigh down on it so that it won't flutter about, then it is more steady and remains in the same position, and therefore it would be able to transfer the impurity to the item, to the other items which are beneath it. The truth is that in the case of the ship, it would also be an oihel to block impurity from travelling beyond it. It's just that in the case of the cloak, since the cloak can become tomei, so the cloak can't block any impurity, even if it does stay in place. That's why the Mishnah is talking about transferring the impurity. But with regards to the ship, it is true that it would also block the impurity. The Mishnah ends off by talking about a sort of hut which is built on top of the ship. According to the first opinion in the Mishnah, although the ship can't be considered an oihel, since it's moving about, a hut which is built on top of the ship is judged in association with the ship. So, meaning the floor of the hut is the ship. And as long as the hut is still and steady in relation to the ship, which is its floor, it would be considered fixed, and it would be considered an oihel. However, Rabbi Yossi understands that that's not the case. And Habayis Shvasfina, a house or a hut which is on top of a ship, in the same way as the ship itself cannot transfer the impurity and is not considered to be an oihel because it moves about, Einam Eviyes Atuma, so too the hut on top of the ship would not be considered an oihel because it moves together with the ship.